Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello and welcome back. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host, Robert Washburn, and you're listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM. This past week, Canadians were asked to reflect on the plight of Indigenous people who suffered in the residential school system. Local municipalities and the county government found ways to engage residents, staff, and politicians in educating themselves and others. Coburg decided to paint a crosswalk. But this effort and others are part of a larger change in the municipality. It is hoping to implement an equity, diversity, and inclusion strategy to create a more welcoming place. Here is Coburg Mayor John Henderson to talk about the National Day for Truth and Reconciliation and the new inclusion strategy. I'm so pleased to have with me today Coburg Mayor John Henderson. Welcome to Consider This.
Oh, well, thank you, Robert. Delighted to be here.
What did Coburg Council decide to do to honor the Day of Truth and Reconciliation?
Well, it was a very brief but yet an important report this past Monday evening. We decided to transfer what we might call our walk way from 2nd Street and Albert Street. So that's going directly behind Victoria Park Hall parking lot to what might be called Millstone area, or what we know better as the Rotary Harborfront Park. In consultation with Chief Dave Mowat and Alderville, he concurred and would support our initiative to paint that in orange to represent the seven feathers. The importance of the seven feathers, it talks about the seven virtues of Indigenous learning, and they're words that we all need to take to heart, the words being love, respect, courage, honesty, humility, truth, and wisdom. And the chief will be joining us. I asked him, would he bring a blessing on behalf of Alderville and himself and his band council? Similarly, I found out one of their elders had written a book called Alderville, Its History. I personally purchased it and started to read it and felt it very educational and quite the learning for me. And based on that, I ordered a copy for every member of council as well as senior staff. And through this, the chief, of course, has agreed to look at his timetable where he could come forward to do a historical indoctrination, a learning, a teaching of Indigenous ways to Coburg Council and senior staff and the public at a very near future meeting. We're just trying to find a date that works for everybody's schedule.
Why is the crosswalk the best way to acknowledge the plight of Indigenous peoples and the horrors of the residential school system?
Well, at this point, we know it's a very popular spot, because the farmers market is often there on Saturdays. Sometimes if we have major events, they're held in Rotary Harbor Front Park, or what we might call the market building. We also know many people walk that particular piece of land or site from downtown and heading to the harbor front, or what we might call our harbor walkway. And I'm hoping by seeing the color of orange and the seven feathers, they may start to ask the question, well, what does that represent? What is this all about? And again, I'm not through it yet. I do apologize to the chief. I am reading Seven Fallen Feathers myself for my own learning and enrichment. And that's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that people will start to ask questions and perhaps take the initiative themselves to learn more and to look at what Alderville may be doing in their events. And as I indicate to the chief, I'm more than willing to go up to Alderville to an event they may be holding to continue to learn and to ask the right questions.
The book that you mentioned, that's by Tanya Talega, The Seven Fallen Feathers, is that the correct, the book that you were referencing?
That's correct.
Why do you and council believe it's important to have a statutory holiday to reflect on the residential schools?
Well, at this point, Robert, if anybody has read or is reading the report on the Commission on Truth and Reconciliation, it's a long enduring history, but a lot of decisions were not good decisions as identified in that report. And I believe it falls to us, this society and our future generations and people like my children, to learn more, to start to make actionable items so we can correct some of these injustices that we're learning about as we move forward. I can only say, being a former educator, in education, we're taught to enrich a child's learning experience, to enrich who they are, to teach confidence, to instill a person their identity. And the more I read, the more I get the feeling that that somehow was stolen from so many youthful individuals in the residential schools. So I think it certainly is a way for us to look at the hourglass differently, and maybe through these collective actions to make changes as recommended in the Truth and Reconciliation report or commission report.
The Ontario government has decided not to make September 30th a statutory holiday. What is your reaction to its decision?
Well, I can only speak personally. In our case, when we looked at the dynamics and legally, we offered it as a LU day. Others have provided a day of recognition, and others are just treating it like any normal day. But for me, what I've learned in the last few months, or in particular during COVID, about these recent discoveries, I really truly feel it would be great to have a national day of recognition, because that unifies Canada, hopefully, in our approach and how we're going to do things differently. Again, I'm not the federal government, but if someone were to start a petition to request a national day with the hope that there would be a celebration or a learning moment. I'm not seeing this as you take a day off and head to the cottage. I see this as a moment where you really partake within your community of how you can enrich your community. So personally, I would support that. I know in others, it's not noted yet. It will be, I'm sure, a discussion through collective agreements.
You mentioned two books. Tanya Tanaga's Seven Fallen Feathers, and you also mentioned Brian Beaver's Alderville, A History. So obviously you're doing a lot of reading about this and you're exploring these issues. So on a personal note, what goes through your mind when you think about Canada's history in regards to residential schools?
Well, it was certainly not based on their learnings, their teachings, because I've learned and everything I've read, all Indigenous communities have a, I don't know if I had the proper word, I apologize, a medicine wheel, but they really did believe in the seasons. They believed in things perhaps we've taken for granted far too long, such as the earth, the air, fire, and the earth, and the importance of working together with all their colorful, important words of, and from child up to elder, and the importance of working in harmonious relationships with what we've inherited. And I think we've got a lesson to learn from that aspect in relation to sustainability and climate change. But more importantly, just they sacrificed their cultural identity, because what I've been learning is that we came in as a society saying, we know better, let us bring you our teachings, our methods, our ways, and let's show you the proper way. Well, as more and more I read, I'm not sure we did them any kind of justice. We imposed a very, if you want to call it European, when it first came to this country in North America, Act, a European focus as opposed to where they were in their present time. Because remember, they were identified communities and very strong communities in really enriched, from what I can read, what they were doing.
What is the role of municipal government when it comes to addressing the Truth and Reconciliation Commission's report and its 94 recommendations?
Well, we know there's going to be there have to be a collaborative effort. I certainly believe it has to start at the federal effort, provincial and municipal. But I think whatever we can do, as I indicated in my notes, to what I call bridge building or transition, just to get a better learning of understanding what we share in common and our values and attributes, but more importantly, to appreciate our differences and understand many times those differences can be strengths moving forward. In particular, the importance of the role I'm learning the women played in very early years and how respectful they had roles, but how very respectful they were of women in their society and a very respectful role of elders and the importance of governance decisions. And so I think personally, we still have a lot to learn. And I'm hoping through our municipal actions and with guidance from Chief Dave Mowat and his band council, we can continue to learn and to assist us as much as even we get into planning and development. I believe they should have a say in what lands, what happens, as many architectural findings. It's important to make them part of the process. And my understanding, that really hasn't been done as well as it could be, certainly in past. And I think in those areas, we have a role to play.
Now, a great deal of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission's reports, the 94 recommendations, a lot of it addresses federal and provincial governments, but there are things that it does speak of specifically for municipalities. For example, educating public servants at the municipal level, making public any documents relevant to Indigenous communities available, and then recognizing Indigenous people's contributions to municipalities and especially in sports. To what extent do you feel Coburg town staff and Coburg council have met those criteria?
I wouldn't say truthfully we've met them, but I would say we're at the beginning phase where we're taking proactive steps to put out a hand, to put out that bridge building. And I use the example of we worked along with, and I want to give them credit, the Coburg Museum, and we worked with Rick Beaver, and he came out and opened up the Coburg Museum this year, which we attended, and he explained the importance of his artwork and the importance of the pine and the forest and the trees. And if you were there, he also did a blessing. And if you were there that day, it was just magnificent on so many fronts. Similarly, we agreed to do training. I've done a series of training. I've had 10 hours of individual training through council at Northumberland County level, through Chief Mowat and his band council. In fact, we meet on a regular basis at county council on governance type issues, policies, and procedures. I'm hoping to bring that down again to the lower tier. And every decision we've made, whether it's a PD or we think we have an architectural site or we have what might be considered a sacred site, I can tell you those calls do go to staff, to Chief Mowat. And any discussion I've had with the Orange Shirt or even supporting the flying Indigenous flag, I've always had these conversations with the chief before I bring that to council. So I believe we're making the right crossroads moving forward. But however, Robert, there's no doubt we all have to do more, including the municipality.
It's interesting, too. I was checking out the Coburg Sports Hall of Fame, and Fred Simpson, who was born in Alderville in 1878 and went on to become an Olympic marathon runner in the 1900s, he's been honored by the Sports Hall of Fame. So it looks like at least on some levels, this is one of the other things, I guess, that's been going on to acknowledge the Indigenous people and their contribution to the community.
Yes, and it was, I was there that day and it was brilliant. And of course, he's very much highlighted in the book I'm reading as well, Alderville's History. They have a whole section on sports and culture and contributions to community. And if we do a slight extension of that, I knew Mr. Eatle, again, not of First Nations, a different culture, but I also learned so much of how he and Rich went up to Rice Lake to become one of the best kite skiers in the entire North America. And yet I knew him as a business person, but until I had that kind of indoctrination, I had no idea that one and the same person. So, yeah.
It's interesting that you mentioned how this sort of ripples out from one central idea to another. And I wonder how much these initiatives around the National Day for Truth and Reconciliation fit into the larger context of work that's being done by the town around equity, diversity, and inclusion. And it's my understanding that there's a draft strategy report that has recently been made public, and residents can go to Engage Coburg and give feedback and comments. Can you explain what is included in that strategic document?
Well, at this point, we've done, and I want to emphasize, this is very new for the town of Coburg. I want to compliment, first of all, Jamie Kramer and her group and all the inclusionary strategies based on what we might call the Global Diversity Inclusionary Benchmark Assessment globally. I believe we're one of 85 municipalities who've elected to take this proactive stance. I must say it's going to be a long journey. We know as well that to get the right training, both for ourselves and for staff and those in the committee, we're going to have to put dollars into the budget. Now, these are, I consider them significant dollars, but important dollars. I don't know the range yet because we have yet to get into budget deliberations, but I'm guessing it's going to be in the range of between $30,000 and $50,000. To keep this training going so that we meet the targets as established by the Global Diversity under UNESCO. So I'm very encouraged that we're doing this. I'm not aware of anybody in Northumberland. If they are, my answer is bless them as well. But I believe we're leading the way in Northumberland to try and what can we do in all our practices? Our daily practices of being inclusionary in everything we do.
Ms. Kramer, what is her title? If for people who may not be aware of her position within the town.
Well, I treat it as two. I call her, it's kind of a confusing title because right now she's known as the Accessibility Coordinator under Legislative Services and Corporate Services, but at the same time, as much as Jamie is helping us in that front as well to meet those standards for 2025 by provincial mandate, at the same time, she's leading equity, diversity, inclusionary strategies for the town of Coburg. And when we can certainly blend or integrate those fields, we certainly are doing that as well. So I would say she has two feet and two camps.
Now, what are some of the systemic barriers you see currently within the town that need to be addressed?
Well, first of all, in our hiring, I know when we did the, as an extension to the HOCO hiring, and it's something maybe filled we have to create to encourage more women in what we call STEM, STEM standing for, of course, science, technology, the fields of math and science, which appears sometimes weaker for women's attendance. But I know when we did, we're looking for women perhaps to interview for certain positions, but here's the point, when you don't have anybody apply, they don't meet the deadline, it's pretty hard to go through an interview process to put a woman on your board or your board of directors. So then that teaches us or me, are we working together with the educational system as well to encourage programs for girls in particular, or are we running programs through Venture 13 that incorporate science and technology so they have opportunities to enrich those experience? So in hiring, I think it's critically important. I know we've grown very incrementally. I think when I came here many years ago, it was at 1%. I think now we're at, I'll say 4% perhaps of different cultures within Coburg. But if we're certainly going to welcome other cultures, we have to include them in everything we do. We have to make them part of our hiring practices. We have to learn, and I think we're doing that well. We're doing that wherever we can based on equal skills, equal competence. And if you notice recently, even though it wasn't directly to the town of Cobourg, the Cobourg Police Service just hired a new deputy chief in Deputy Chief Haskins from Durham Region. I think that's a very promising based on skills bringing to the town of Cobourg. Our clerk had great interviews, was well received, and Crystal Christopher brings in tremendous skills in the city of Mississauga. So I think the onus is upon us is to get the right policies, the right principles, so that everybody has a fair opportunity and not to receive any kind of biased treatment through the process.
But are diverse communities within the town being engaged in a meaningful way? I mean, is the queer community being engaged? Are the biopic community being engaged properly? I mean, when you look at who shows up at public meetings and when, you know, who fills the galleries and who speaks to council most often, is the town council doing a good job in engaging fully these diverse communities?
Well, we're certainly, I can tell you, we're putting out the welcoming mat. We're doing everything we can with different groups for celebration of their day, their literature. We're supporting their systems. We're promoting them wherever we can. I mean, Ashley Bowman was just recognized with a civic award just this past Friday night for all her extreme efforts. We have relations with the New Canadians group. Working through them, we're able to work through the county and have, I think, one of the first we've ever had when we had just previous to COVID, one of the new swearing-in ceremonies held in the town of Cobourg for new Canadians. So my answer is no, we're not at a perfect ideal situation, but are we putting out venues wherever we can to integrate or formulate those celebrations? I can't speak for anybody else, but I'm tending those right around the clock, and I'm well received as they are. I just got through with a Syrian family where we had a blessing most recently and speaking with the family about their concerns with their relatives still stuck in Afghanistan. And to have that conversation, that very real conversation of what can we do through the MP in that case, or through us to initiate concern of how do we help that family. So maybe in my role, I'm lucky I get to see this all the time and be engaged. Again, is it a perfect scenario? No, it's not. But are we making the right gains, the right progress for the town of Cobourg? I certainly believe we are. And again, that's why we're going to these groups to help them help us lead. In other words, tell us what we're not doing the right way. Help guide us, mentor us. And I think just putting that out in itself has been a very welcoming message. I see it all the time.
We've talked about a lot of things over this interview. And as mayor, how have you been personally changed through all these initiatives?
Well, it makes me appreciate that our community is more than the Henderson family or who my particular neighbors are, who I've lived beside now for 35 years and second generations. We're a much more wider community than that, where we're getting, I've noticed quite an influx of GTA individuals since COVID into Cobourg looking for a difference, a smaller community, but still looking for a very inclusive community and a community that is opening their arms to their ideas and their thoughts. So I'm at the point that I continue to learn. I can tell you weekly and monthly when I attend these events, I've learned about their food. I've learned about their culture, their education, some of their language, the importance of the roles they each play. They're very inclusive and they remind me of, and I say this with respect, when I grew up in Durham, I was surrounded by Ukrainian and Polish families and the odd Italian. But boy, when they got together, It was everybody. Like it was like, grandma, grandpa, that first cousin, the second cousin, whoever was in the neighborhood. And everything was done for the betterment of the family and the neighborhood. And I can honestly say, I didn't quite have that from the Canadian. It was like, well, why are they all here? So I feel welcome when I get invited to attend these different functions. If my schedule permits it, I don't hesitate to join in because I feel I'm going to learn a lot more than they are from me. And yet, together, if we keep having the right conversation, I think it can certainly enrich Coburg collectively, whether you wish to do that or not. I think it's certainly the right thing to do.
Mayor John Henderson, thank you so much for talking to me today.
You're welcome.
That was Coburg Mayor John Henderson. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.